You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Friday the 13th. Ooh.
Yes, it is today. I didn't realize it was today, but yeah. If you're superstitious, you're going to have very bad luck. Don't walk under an umbrella.
Don't smash a mirror.
Don't open an umbrella indoors. Don't walk under a ladder.
Right.
The other one.
Yeah. Don't walk under ladders. Mm. Just as a practical thing.
Yeah, I mean, op health and safety thing as well.
I don't think I've ever seen a ladder and been like, you know what? Today's the day.
Today's the day. I'm feeling a bit crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk under it.
So
there's another one with a black cat. If you see one, that's bad.
If it crosses your path.
Okay.
Mm.
So just keep your eyes closed.
Which is why I always wait until it comes back and then goes back to, from where it came.
Right.
Crosses your path and if it crosses it again, I think you're okay.
Is that why you were late this morning? A black cat crossed the road in front of you and you're just like, oh, I've got to wait. It's been an hour. But I've got to wait.
Just sticking around waiting for the cat to come back. So from one freaky bad luck thing to the next, did you see this during the week? It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
There is a public inquiry going on over in the UK regarding misspent undercover police operations.
Okay.
Now, how this relates to freaky things is that the undercover police operation that was so-called misspent money involved in.
Yeah.
We're talking millions upon millions of dollars. Police officers were being trained as clowns.
Okay.
In a 5-year undercover police operation into a clown army.
So what? So the undercover cops thought that there was someone trying to create an army of people dressed as clowns.
No, the clown army is official. That exists. It's called the Clandestine Insurgent Rebel Clown Army.
Right.
Or Circa for short.
Very close to circus.
Very close.
Very different clowns. So these evil ones, is that what they are? Are they like the clown army?
Well, that's what the police were afraid of. They were afraid that, geez, these evil clowns, we need someone on the inside.
Are they actually, like, doing evil stuff or are they just, oh, do you want to smell this flower and then it spurts water?
Well, there's actually, what's the clown phobia called?
Oh, phobia of clowns. It's got a scientific name.
It's just like claustrophobia or something like that.
I think that's just phobias of people called Klaus.
Probably.
Which, to be fair, Klaus is pretty terrifying.
Probably also your average clown is named Klaus.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. So they activated an agent known as EN34. She went undercover, but she also took 2 years of clown training and has since infiltrated the clandestine insurgent rebel clown army.
Well, don't say that. Now the clown army is going to know that she's the one who's undercover.
Well, they don't know who EN34 is.
Yeah, true. No, come on, show it. We need your birth certificates when you sign in.
Yeah, so they are, in fact, not a rebel kind of army. They are just a street performance campaign group that kind of do, you know, clown stuff on the street.
Okay, so not evil in any way.
No, not really. They just kind of, they have like a bit of a political message behind their clown activities.
Right.
Clown activities does sound worth investigating.
I mean, it does. Whether I'd spend 5 years or 2 years going undercover learning clowns.
Yeah. They've been trafficking flowers for years.
Like, yeah, I can see why there's an inquiry into what on earth they were doing.
They've had that undercover, what do they call it? They've had the black market for really big shoes going on for decades.
Just imagine, okay, I'm not an expert on how inquiries work.
Yeah.
But if there is at some stage down the line where perhaps the police and the clowns have to come together in a room to kind of discuss what's been happening.
Yeah.
That's going to be a weird day for the judge.
Well, they don't talk, do they, clowns, sometimes?
Oh, yeah, that's your point.
Sometimes they don't talk.
We'll need a clown translator.
Yeah. So they've sent someone in undercover over a 5-year period. It's been stated in court that she befriended and tricked countless individuals in her clown assumed persona. And also, It's worth mentioning that the litigator said that the officer was also photographed making an orange military tank out of plywood and cardboard. For its...
Since when do clowns do that?
I don't know.
Since when do clowns do, like, woodwork? Here's the clown and here is my disc sander.
And he told the inquiry, the absurdity of investing massive resources into infiltrating a clown army and groups which oppose war and the arms trade is well illustrated by these images, and showed pictures of clowns.
But on the plus side, at least now the police know how to make like a dog out of a balloon.
He closed the argument by saying, how is this legitimate policing?
Very good question.
Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, you share your house with a puppy?
Yes. Yes, I do.
How old is he?
He's got to be 20, mid-20 week, somewhere there, 25, 26.
When does it stop becoming a puppy and become a dog?
As soon as he grows up.
Okay.
as soon as he stops making a menace of himself.
What's his name, by the way?
Barney.
Barney, all right. Mm-hmm. Simo, and you are, I think it's safe to say that you love Barney.
Yeah. I mean...
You don't seem confident there.
Yeah, we coexist.
You tolerate.
We're good mates, yeah.
Yeah, you're pals.
Love's a strong word, but, you know, he's a cool hanging Jack Russell.
Well, maybe you might do what the president of Turkmenistan has done to celebrate his favourite dog. Have you seen this story?
One of my great mentors, the president of Turkmenistan.
Turkmenistan.
Don't know. Not a clue.
So the president of Turkmenistan, his name I don't even want to try and pronounce.
I'm not even going to give it a go either.
Has decided... You don't even know who it is. At least I've got it written down here.
Not a clue.
Do you want me to spell out his last name?
Yeah, go for it.
Berdmukhamedov.
Can I get another vowel, please?
No. So the president of Turkmenistan has decided to unveil a statue of his favourite dog just in the centre of the capital of Turkmenistan, which is also a town that I'm not going to try and pronounce.
Interesting.
This statue is like 6 metres tall. It's gold. It's got right down the bottom of it. So it's on a plinth, and then wrapped around the bottom of the plinth is a whole lot of LED lights. And TVs that show footage of various dogs.
Right, so plinth is a what? I love the word. I need a reminder on what the hell a plinth is.
So a plinth is like it's the thing that you put on underneath where the statue is. That made no sense.
Right, I'm with
you. It's like a base.
Yeah.
Sort of thing, but it's raised
like
up.
Kind of like a stage.
Yeah. For where this giant 6 meter high golden dog is now in the capital of Turkmenistan.
It harks back to, because the Egyptians were doing that with cats, weren't they?
Yeah, I guess so.
Big cats. It's a big Sphinx thing.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's the next step. I don't know. The president who, again...
doesn't have a nose.
Yeah, the dog has a nose.
Okay, right, just checking.
Why does the Sphinx...
Sphinx doesn't have a nose.
Oh, does not have a nose?
Yeah, it fell off.
Oh, okay. Well, this is...
we'll keep an eye on this one.
I mean, yeah, we'll keep... But, I mean, the Sphinx is hundreds of years old, there's going to be wear and tear.
Yeah, that's it.
This is brand new. Like, if you unveil it a couple of days later, the nose has fallen off, you want your money back.
Look, Turkmenistan's engineers are notorious for this kind of behaviour.
Are they?
I don't know, making it up.
Well, I tell you what, they would want to get this right, because by the looks of things, the president is a big, big dog fan. He's a former dentist, and he's written books about dogs, and even a poem about dogs, of which he read out in the Turkmenistan government, in which he said that dogs were, quote, a symbol of achievement and victory.
Wow, well, that puts me one over you.
Why?
Because I got a dog.
Oh.
You don't.
Yeah. I mean, how do you know that I don't have a 6 meter high statue of a dog at home?
Yeah, am I getting this right? He's the prime minister.
President.
President. So he's an elected official?
Look, I mean, my knowledge of Turkmenistani politics.
Well, you'd think so.
Not the best.
You'd think so, because they elected a former dentist.
I mean,
because oral hygiene is a big part of their policy.
Well, I mean, perhaps it is in Turkmenistan. I don't know.
I assume that the dentists didn't like rise up and cause a coup with their.
No, the dentists would be loving it, knowing that like now a former one of them is in charge.
Yeah, but how do they take power? Did they rise up with their happy gas and their little drills?
I mean, perhaps.
That'd be enough to scare me into giving them power. Mm-hmm.
Again, not an expert on Turkmenistani politics.
Yeah. Imagine that. If he found out that ScoMo was ex... He was a dentist. Like, whoa, all right.
I mean, it could be worse if you're like 5 or so years down the track, things haven't gone well for ScoMo and he is a dentist. Kind of like, hey, weren't you the former prime minister one day?
Yeah, that's what he says at the end of his day. When he finishes off his week, he like cracks open a bottle of Diet Coke because it's sugar-free.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a dental... he's got a dentistry degree way from way back when. And he sits there and he goes... Well, there's always dentistry. You can always go back.
Yes, and judging by that impersonation, he could also go to David Attenborough impersonating as well.
Yeah, maybe. That's an option.
Or just building giant statues of dogs around Canberra.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And tattoos, both you and I, very clean-skinned.
Yes, neither of you or I have tattoos.
Very vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
And also the first to apply sunscreen. How did you go with cricket the other day?
Yeah, I remembered to apply sunscreen.
The old SPF 15 or 30 plus.
Slip, slop, slap. There's seek and slide, I think, is the next two ones. I think I went 50 plus.
Is that a thing now?
I don't know. It said 50 on the bottle.
Right.
I didn't read it.
I was always told that anything over 30 was a lie.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, anything over 30 plus sunscreen cannot be done.
Or maybe I was conned by marketing, which, knowing me, not unusual.
It's like, you think about it, right? It's an advertising aspect of it.
Yeah.
SPF, 15 plus, 30 plus. What is SPF?
I mean, you raise a very good point.
What does it do?
SPF, sun protection factor?
Yeah, sure, go with that.
Yeah, I just made that up. It could be right.
Sounds sciencey. Now, the reason I bring up sun and tattoos is because UV tattoos, also known as black light tattoos, have been... A, invented, and B, coming to the fore, very, very popular.
Okay, I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
What on earth is a UV blacklight tattoo?
So it's one of the ones that basically can only be seen under a black light. If you get this tattoo, right, these UV tattoos, you'll only ever see it if you get killed and then appear on CSI, and then they have to get the black light of it. Like, whoa, look at this artwork.
They just write on your chest, Steve did it, just in case.
Look at that. It says Steve did it, and that's a picture of a dragon.
So I think I know what you mean. So are they the ones, you know, you'll see the kind of the blue light and it kind of goes over a table or something and it can see... fingerprints and all this sort of stuff that we can't see with the human eye.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So if you get one of these blue lights and you put them over your arm or whatever, you'll be able to see the tattoo, but just with the naked eye, you won't be able to see anything.
Basically invisible.
Okay.
Obviously, when you first get them, there's a bit of redness going on. So everyone's like, what the hell happened to you? Did you get sunburned?
But then once that dies down, no one will be able to see
to the naked eye, correct. Yeah.
Okay, quick question. What is the point of them?
I don't know. So you light up at a disco? I don't know.
I mean, surely if you get tattoos, it's because you like the picture or you think you'll look good with it.
Yeah.
With this, like, unless you walk around with these UV infrared lights, I think they're called, blue lights, no one will be able to see it.
I reckon it would be cool, though. You could get a full UV skeleton tattoo and then hit the town on a night out.
and like, be naked.
Well, no one would know. They'll be like, whoa, there's a skeleton walking around.
I think they might know because, there's a skeleton walking around. We'll just flick the normal lights on and have a look. And then just see someone completely naked.
And then they'll flick the lights back off.
No one wants to see that.
Yeah, so it's an option, I guess. Would you go for the UV tattoos?
Look, I mean, no is the first word that immediately springs to mind.
They can only be seen in all their glory under ultraviolet light.
Yeah, not often that I am under ultraviolet light, so I'm going to say no.
Oh, dear.
But, Simo, I mean, I just thought of something.
Right.
How do you know that I don't have one already?
Well, maybe you do.
I know.
Someone turn out the lights.
Maybe I've got a full skeleton. Switch the UV light on, I'm going to get naked.
It would be much better as well if they worked under any kind of light, or even in the dark. So that
glow-in-the-dark tattoos.
Yeah. So if you, like, left the pub, you parked your car in a bit of a dodgy alley... And then it's very dark that night when you're leaving, and then you can glow all the way there.
Look, I've seen a couple of flaws in it.
What?
Number one, people might think you're like nuclear reactive or something.
That guy's sick.
Number two, I feel for like the first hour or so it would be fun, but then when you try and get to sleep and your arm is glowing, that would be annoying.
You try to like hide under the blankets and be like, oh, I'm still darts.
I know, it's a hot night as well. It's getting into summer, so it's too hot, so I don't need blankets and I'm just glowing. This was a bad idea.
Simo
and Jordan.
And Simo, what's that phrase? Every few millennia, evolution jumps forward. Is that right?
Pretty much nailed it. Every few millennia, evolution leaps forward.
So it's close.
Leaps, not jumps, Jordan.
Well, maybe they just didn't quite... You know, they didn't feel like doing a leap. They'll just do, oh, we'll just bring it down a tone, we'll do a jump.
Every few millennia, evolution hops, skips, forward.
I mean, that works. So, like, way back in the day, our ancestors decided to stop crawling and start walking. So that was a leap forward.
Yep, that's right, yep.
And now, Simo, scientists have worked out, they have discovered that seagulls have worked out what time school breaks are in order to maximise their chance of stealing a bit of free food.
How awesome. Wow.
This is brand new research from a university in the UK.
What did they do, interview a few seagulls?
No, what they did, they strapped GPS monitors to the back of 12 seagulls to monitor what they did in their day-to-day life.
Right.
And they found out that all of these seagulls would kind of convene around a nearby school during break times and before and after. As well as that, they would often go to the local park when school was in session, or perhaps the local waste centre, in order to scab a free meal.
So it's like bang for buck. They've only got so much wing fuel, only so much energy to get them to and from around the place, that they are basically highlighting and prioritising their feeding grounds.
Exactly, yes.
So much so that they've actually got a... They must have an internal clock they can work out when school breaks out?
Well, I mean, I guess so as well. I mean, maybe it's just like the sun or whatever, or I don't know how they work it out.
Or if they just send one of the junior gulls to just do a pass to check.
Yeah, just check. Nah, they're not out yet. There must be detention. They must have been naughty. They're not out yet.
Seagull, instead of, it's not a stakeout, it's a chip out. They're just just doing a quick bit of survey, and then we'll go back and check again in 15 minutes.
So how like crazy is that? It's like, all right, well, lunch is at 1 o'clock, and at like quarter to one, all of a sudden, all these seagulls start landing on the outside buildings of the school.
If you ever saw a group of seagulls all move in together, look at their fridge, and you know how normally if adolescent males move in together, there's schnitty night on Monday night, Mexican Tuesday, steak Wednesday, etc., etc. The seagulls just have the school lunchtimes. Barney, Bernard has a sandwich on Tuesday. Larry gets hold of some chips on Thursday afternoon.
Lucy gets fruit on Thursdays, never eats it. That's all ours.
Don't bother.
She doesn't like the sultanas. She just throws them straight out.
So they've got
the roster. I wouldn't be surprised.
Wow.
Just imagine that as well. You're driving along, you just see a pack of seagulls flying towards the school. It's like, oh, it's that time.
Yeah, in a V-shape as well. You'd be like, oh...
But how crazy is that? Not like terrifying that like seagulls have worked us out.
Yeah, you have a long decorated history with seagulls because you quite often get caught with snacks and out in the open.
Well, I mean, it's true. I mean, I think it was earlier this week or maybe last week or whatever when I was attacked by a large mob of seagulls.
That's right, yeah.
Whilst I was walking to my car with a bucket of hot chips, which is not unusual for
me. Yeah, there's got to be a ringleader with all of these leaps forward that these seagulls are making. They're becoming bolder, I'm telling you that, Jordan.
Are you suggesting that the ringleader is another seagull or like a human who is controlling the seagulls?
that's more worrying. If it's Putin and if it's Vladimir Putin and he's decided to mobilize the gulls, we've got a problem.
Actually, I just had an even more terrifying thought.
Uh-oh.
I don't think it's Putin that's in charge of the seagulls.
Who?
Way back when I was in like year one or year two.
All right.
The principal at my school, I promise you I'm not making this up.
Okay, yeah.
Was called Mr. Seagull.
Really?
He was the principal of my school. He was called Mr. Seagull. Now all of a sudden seagulls are learning when school breaks are.
Nice.
How did they find out? Maybe Mr. Seagull told them.
It's Mr. Seagull.
Oh, we found you out, Mr. Seagull.
Isn't there Steven Seagull?
Yeah, no, that's a seagull, not a seagull.
It's close, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's close.
And he's a ninja.
Yeah, but it's close, but at the same time, crows are the close to seagulls. They're not
Who are you going to cast in a Bond film about mobilising evil seagulls? Your teacher, Mr. Seagull, or Steven Seagull?
Look, Principal Mr. Seagull was quite terrifying from memory.
Okay, yep.
So I reckon he had like the full Dr. Phil look going on with the hair as well.
Oh, okay.
So it's like tall, bald, but going around the sides, a bit of a moustache.
Right. So egg on top with the nesting around the sides.
Yeah.
Okay.
So based on that, let's cast Dr. Phil as the evil genius in the James Bond playing Mr. Seagull.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And I want to talk about the slippery slidey boys.
Okay.
The snakes.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So have you ever encountered one in the wild?
No, I don't think I have in the wild.
Yeah, I live by that as well. They don't exist in the wild.
I've seen documentaries that suggest they do.
Nah, they don't. It's a foreign concept.
Again, I'm pretty sure I've seen documentaries that say that they do.
No, it's just what I tell myself in order to ensure that I never see one.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I mean, it's like, again, maybe just
live your reality.
Blind luck and hoping that you don't see one. Maybe not the best way.
So, well, just as well that you mentioned that, because in Australia there is an app in development to help you out with noticing snakes.
I see.
In that it's called Critopedia.
Okay.
All right. It is an AI-driven app that allows smartphone users to identify snakes and spiders, learn which species live in which area, and how to take precautions to minimize risk. Now, I hear you thinking the word how.
Yeah, that was going to dead set be my next question.
It is similar to Shazam, you know, the music identification app.
So what, when you hear a song, you press Shazam, it'll play, it'll listen to it and then tell you what song it is?
Correct, yeah.
All right, so what, you play it, it'll listen to the snake and tell you, oh, that's a red-bellied black snake.
No, it doesn't do it through sound. It's basically, if you see a snake or a spider, they've got their little blurb here. It says, imagine you're on a trip to Australia, hoping to explore everything urban and outback. On a hike, you notice a massive spider crawling up your leg, or you avoid stepping on a snake curled up in your winter boot. You quickly snap a photo on your smartphone and immediately learn that the spider is a nearly harmless huntsman. Better stay away from the snake, though. It appears to be an eastern brown snake, one of the more deadly on the continent.
So is it? So you can take a picture of the snake slash spider,
yeah,
and it will kind of tell you what it is.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
It's the part about quickly snap a photo that I'm a little bit worried about.
Yeah, that's a bit of an interesting concept.
Got to get the angle right.
I mean, what happens if it's like a redback spider,
yeah,
on its way to a fancy dress party dressed up as a huntsman? what does it do? And you've got to hope it's right.
Yeah.
What if you take a picture of a spider and it comes back and says, this is the cute, fluffy spider that you can stroke all day, and then it's all right, and then it's like, it's a poisonous one.
If you got the message back to saying that you could stroke this fluffy spider,
I would delete the app. No way. Going back to using Google.
Yeah. And I imagine Zoom is getting a lot of action with this app.
What, Zoom you mean?
Yeah, the Zoom function. Zooming in and out.
What, Zoom live streaming? Just doing a video call to, hi, what type of spider is this?
No, I assume you're taking a few steps back and using the Zoom function.
Oh, sorry, I think you meant the Zoom as in what everyone's been using to do video calls.
Yeah, the app, that would be odd.
Yeah, I'm in a Zoom call with a spider. He's going to tell me what type he is.
Oh, I've got a Zoom call with Jordan. Why is he calling me on Zoom? Hey, all right. Are you okay?
No, I just wanted to check what type of spider this is.
It's an option, I guess.
But so what? So back to this app. So what is it? Critopedia.
Critopedia with
is
double
it
T.
Released? Is it out in the wild? To excuse the spider in the wild pun?
Yep. So what is it? Over 2,000 species of spider are in the application, 170 species of snake.
Mm-hmm.
And the app developer has told the... has done a press release saying, we realise that many people don't understand some of our beautiful wildlife and so react with fear.
You know what else? I reckon that, okay, brilliant app. If it works, fantastic, very useful and all that sort of stuff. However, any chance that as well as that they could introduce some kind of Pokemon Go style function to the
you
app
can catch
where
them.
You go around, you take a picture of like a red-bellied black snake from a safe distance, of course,
yeah,
and then you've got that and then you can virtually battle them with anyone?
That would be cool.
I mean, that would be. I mean, if we could do that worldwide, Australia would dominate.
We would smash it.
I mean, well, I'm versing someone from England. They've got some kind of house spider. Oh, I can beat that.
Yeah, the only thing you've got to worry about is the Canadians with their bears.
Yeah, it doesn't work on bears. Make that a rule just so Australia win.
So far, over, 32 experts, Australian experts, have contributed more than 200,000 images of snakes and spiders to Critopedia. Yeah, so get it now and... I'd take a few steps back and use the Zoom function.
Yeah, get it now. Take some pictures of spiders. Obviously, safely, of course.
Spider-Man. Spider-Man poster. What is this?
What is it? He's called Peter Parker. He's not real.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, Don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah, that should do it.